It's hard to see yourself represented on the silver screen. In a world with less available roles to us, this industry can be so mean. So we're gonna make some changes in this town. Turn the male-driven media upside down. There's nothing that a woman can't do. So act like a girl, we're here to support you.
My name is Angelisha Rogers. I'm playing trumpet. My introduction to music, I grew up in a town in Virginia, a little small town called Charlotte Courthouse, Virginia. And my grandfather and my grandmother were both ministers. And so it was sort of like me and my brother and my cousins, everybody was around. It's like, all right, one of y'all got to play because we need a piano player. Who wants to try it? And I'm like, I'll do it. So I started kind of picking around on piano. And when I was about 8 years old, we went to this conference in Memphis, Tennessee. Our church that we belonged to was Church of God in Christ, Kojic denomination. So we went to this conference in Memphis, Tennessee, and every year it's customary for them to open up the conference with a midnight musical. So I'm here, I'm like 8 years old. This older lady, I never knew her name, never got close enough to speak to her, but this older lady gets up and she starts playing the hymn, I'll Fly Away, on the trumpet. And I was just like, Papa, I gotta have one of those. I gotta have it right now. Please, please, I want a trumpet. He's like, all right, okay, whatever. And I bugged him about it for like a year, you know. And one day he's like, okay. And I didn't even know this at the time, but my uncles, both of my older uncles played trumpet in school and in military bands and stuff like that. And he had my oldest uncle's trumpet cleaned up and he gave it to me. So that's how I started playing trumpet. But as I said, I do play a little piano as well, sing a little bit, play flugelhorn. Yeah, so musicians who have influenced me, you know, definitely that lady. I used to think about her a lot, especially like when I was in middle school and just coming up and learning. And I always wanted our paths to cross again. I don't even know if she's still alive now, but so definitely her. Like I said, I'm a church kid, so, you know, Walter Hawkins, Edwin Hawkins, you know, the Pace sisters, the Clark sisters. You know, when I was a kid, I would go and just listen to the choirs and listen to them rehearse and watch them in praise and worship, and I learned a lot of my inflections and phrasing and, you know, just how you stylize it from that. Trumpet players, one of my all-time favorites, Clifford Brown. He's the man. He is the man. Love Clifford Brown. Freddie Hubbard, Roy Hargrove is another one of my favorites. I mean, you know, I could keep rolling the list. My process, the introduction, when I was in grad school, I went to grad school at North Carolina Central University in Durham, North Carolina. And I had a professor that was sexist. And I tell people, I was born a little girl, grew up to be a woman, been that way my whole life. It was never a problem. Been playing trumpet since I was 9 years old. It was never a problem. But when I got to grad school, he presented a lot of challenges. I mean, it was just demeaning almost the way that he would be on me. And it was just like, just always, you're not even really good enough. I don't understand how you got accepted. And just all of this stuff. And so I got to the point where I would speak to my grandmother about it, and I just hated waking up on Tuesday mornings because I didn't want to go to his class. So one day, I'm in the class, and we're playing, and he starts doing that stuff again, and I packed my trumpet up, and I said, look, I'm leaving, and you better not fail me for the day either. And I told him, I said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to find a woman. I don't know who she is yet. But it's nothing new under the sun. So I'm going to find somebody who's gone where I'm trying to go. And I'm going to show you that it can be done. So I started working on this project. And I went and I started doing Google. And a picture of Clora Bryant came up. And I remember looking at her picture and she had her trumpet. And I'm just like, wow, she's like gorgeous. And I just started searching around and finding out more about her. And Clora Bryant is a Texas native. And she played with the International Sweethearts at one point. She played with the Prairie View Coeds. And, you know, she's very influential. She's still alive. Very influential in the Central Avenue jazz scene over in California. And, I mean, very extensive thing. So I started doing this little research project just for myself. At the same time, I was in a research class in grad school, and I decided to use it, you know, for my premise, because like it's a story that wasn't told. So the advisor there, Dr. Bailey, she saw my work and she's like, Angel, this is like excellent. Like, you're a writer, like you're a scholar. She was like, I'm gonna help you tighten this up and I'm gonna just submit it to things. So I'm like, okay. So make a long story short, she just started submitting the research all over the place. I got called to do research conferences and traveled. I went to Canada, I was in Atlanta, Tennessee, like all over the place doing these conferences. One day I get a call. It was a lady named Jessica Davis from Seattle. And she's like, yes, you submitted, you know, your abstract and we were looking for panelists. And I'm like, oh, I did? Dr. Bailey submitted, I didn't even know. Anyway, I get the call and she's like, we really want you to be a part of this, but unfortunately, I don't have the budget right now. She was like, but stay, like, keep us in mind because we're going to do something. I don't know how, I don't know when, but we're going to connect. So fast forward, graduated from grad school, moved to New York in 2013. And I think it was last year, I got a call from Kat saying, yes, Jessica handed me your information and she told me the story and you got to be a part of this. So it was like connected all the way, you know, through the grad school story and a project that just started out me just trying to overcome something, you know, that I was going through. And the beautiful thing about it is my character Velma is actually a hybrid of Clora Bryant, who I did my research on, and a lady named Tiny Davis, Ernestine Davis, who was one of the premier trumpet players in the International Sweethearts of Rhythm. So it sort of like ties it all together, like the whole reason why I started the thing in the first place. Okay, so playing an all-female, it's crazy that you asked that because we were talking about it the other day when we took our little lunch break. And most of the time when people think of ego, they kind of automatically think of men because it's, you know, just that male. But women are very territorial. And it's like, don't you step over here unless you invite it over here. But what I like about this project is it's no ego. Like, everybody's inviting. Everybody's very familiar. It's a loving, you know, kind of atmosphere. And the chemistry that everybody has just makes everything flow a lot better. And what I also like about it is that it's very much a huge chunk of the story of the actual Sweethearts. It was like, you know, all they wanted to do was play. All they wanted to do was be heard. All they wanted to do was be recognized for the gift that was given to them, and not the color of their skin, not the gender that they were born to, but no, I am a musician. And that's what kept them unified and able to travel. And so I like that because that spirit very much reflects with the cast and with everybody that's a part of this whole project. Yeah, I mean, that's there. Unfortunately, you know, my grandpa used to always tell us, you're gonna have good folks and bad folks, but you just be your folks, meaning you do what you do, you know, you be who you are and you let your gift reflect for you. And, you know, I've encountered all kind of personalities. I've worked with, you know, all kind of gospel artists and jazz and you name it, I've done it. But what I realized very quickly is it's not really about the music. And what I mean by that is when they pull you in, okay, you're the trumpet player, you singing, you're expected to be able to do that. So then, I mean, I shouldn't even have to question that. But it becomes about your demeanor and how you carry yourself and how you can relate that really keeps you plugged in. And, you know, I learned a long time ago that, you know, you just become all things to all men. You know, if you need to see this face, that's what I'm going to show you. You need to see that face, that's what you're going to get, you know. So that's the biggest thing that keeps me going. But yeah, of course, you know, you encounter all kind of adversity and things like that. And, you know, a lot of the whole doubt where, you know, I've walked in and just because I'm a woman, oh, what is that, saxophone or violin? Like, you know, they try to play. No, it's a trumpet. And yeah, I can do it too. You know, so that all comes with the territory. I think, well, yes. And in some ways, being a black woman works for you or works for me. And the reason that I say that is because in the context of certain certain things. It's just like they look at it almost as if, okay, it came from you, so I want you to be black, I want you to look like this, I want you to have this certain image. And so it works sometimes, but then there's also negative connotations to it, unfortunately, because we live in America and it's always been those type of connotations on our people. And they think that you're less than, but in reality, I personally believe that the whole supremacist attitude exists because they realize that we are naturally creative and that we are naturally expressive, and it's a different set of gifts, so to speak, that's given, and it's like that intimidation. So, you know, like I said, in some ways it works for you, for me, and in some ways it works against me, but at the end of the day, I am who God made me. You know, so that's just how I try to keep it. All right, so feminism. Recently, I was reading an article, and it's a lady who teaches financial literacy to women. And so somebody asked her, why are you targeting it only towards women? Like, I'm a man, I don't need these classes. And she said, if you can impact a woman, you can impact a family. If you can impact a family, you can impact a community. If you can impact the community, then you can affect change in the state and it can go worldwide. And that statement sat with me because it's so real. And I mean, you know, the man is the head, yes, but the woman holds those things together. So I said all that to say that I feel like feminism refers to the strength, the natural strength, the natural sense of integrity, the natural sense of, I don't know how we gonna make it, but we gotta make it happen, that's in women. And like, that's what every single one of us that exists on this planet is literally birthed from. So that's feminine.
My name is India Owens, and I play the double bass. Well, I started on the piano when I was 8 years old. My mom bought me one for Christmas. Now at age 25, I suck at it. But after that, I started on violin, and I played that for several years. And when I was 15, I started on the bass. Well, the audition process wasn't really hard. Actually, the director had saw me at a gig in Harlem at MIST, and then she called me to do the Sweethearts of Swing. So that's how I auditioned informally. Well, other musicians that I look up to, I love Stevie Wonder. I love his creativity. And even though he was blind, he still fought through obstacles, and he resonates in so many people. His music, he is therapeutic. And my bass teacher, my first bass teacher, Rodney Whitaker, was monumental in my life because he was the one who helped me get into college, the only college that I had auditioned for at the time, Michigan State. And he stuck with me for 6 long years, and I did not know how to play the bass going into college. I didn't know how to play the blues. I played with my thumb. It was terrible, but he still stuck with me. So he's my main inspiration, and he inspires me to inspire others, especially younger women and young girls. The bass, I feel like playing the bass was my destiny. When I was 15, I thought that I was gonna be a violinist, like the virtuoso, just the prophet, you know? and that didn't happen because I just so happened to be 5'9", one of the taller people in my class. So I had to switch to the bass, and I was very reluctant. It was very heavy. I would carry it in hot summers in Detroit, and I hated every second of it. And I started with classical music, so going into jazz wasn't something that I grew up with. I started that at about 16 or 17, and I still didn't know how to play the bass. So it was something that I grew to love. And yeah, it's really something that I had to grow to love. But I love it now, of course. Well, I got to New York City. It's actually a very interesting story. I auditioned for Juilliard about 2 years ago, and I took the Greyhound from Detroit with my bass, and I was late to the audition, and I was sweating bullets, and I didn't make it that time. I didn't make the audition. I made it to the final round, and that was it. But then I came again next year to the audition, and I got in. So college was what brought me to New York, and I really wanted to pursue my career in music. I have one more year to go at Juilliard for my master's. Well, the process while being a part of Sweethearts of Swing has been pretty easy. All the musicians are amazing. To be around a full big band of female musicians that all play at a high level makes me want to play at a higher level. So it's been really easy, and it's been really fun, and I love the historical aspect in it because it needs to be talked about, and it also brings up the conversation of having more women in jazz, how important it is. Well, the hardest part in my music career has been just having the strength to keep going, because every day isn't a good day. There's gigs that aren't always exceptional. Like, I've had bad gigs before. And there are a lot of musicians who give up very easily because of one setback or one downfall, but the consistency has been the hardest thing. That's what most musicians struggle with, you know. But being consistent makes you stronger. Being a female musician shouldn't and isn't different than being a male musician. We both breathe the same air. We have the same blood. We come into this world the same, and we die the same. It is the same. And women are physically and mentally capable of doing anything that a man can do and more. Yes, I have been treated differently. Usually when people meet me before I start playing, they're already doubting me. When I'm on a gig, they ask me if I know simple songs, like songs I've learned in high school, like a blues. And, you know, and then the sexism. There's been a lot of inappropriate moments as well. Being a black woman in music is very complex. Just being a black woman living in this world is complex because, in music, just as a woman in general, like sometimes I feel like I need to be stronger or more assertive and not always be so friendly. Being around all male bands or male musicians, because that can be taken advantage of. And as far as being a black woman, I've had instances where people have thought that I was gonna cuss them out or beat them up because I'm not smiling and I'm giving them a straight face. You know, it's always the, oh, you're angry kind of thing. But there are a lot of male musicians who have not treated me that way, you know, and they'll tell me honestly, like, India, you know, I love you, you can play, but, you know, get your shit together because you're like everyone else. Playing a role like this about black women and being a black woman myself has been a great honor for me, because so many of these stories are unsung and untold and dusted away in the past, and there have been so many black women in and outside of music that have done countless achievements and have not received credit for it. And playing a role like this and people seeing it, the audience seeing it, just continues the continuation of women in jazz and black women in jazz. You know, for the people after me, that's the most important thing, the women after me. For me, feminism means just clearly not giving a fuck about society standards. As a woman, you can do what you want. Your sexual preference does not matter. You can be anything that you want to be, and you should be unapologetic all the time. And you should not fall under the society standards. And that's what feminism is to me.